From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruryak. In this Thanksgiving week, donations continue to flow to people in the Butte County wildfire zone. The mayor of Paradise, who was on our program yesterday, and a number of others are telling us cash is most needed now to meet and to manage the ongoing needs. Meanwhile, the bad air quality continues, at least for another day. It's forced many closures, as I'm sure you know, but there are two storms on the way. In this hour, we're going to explore a lot of details about the weather situation, the fire situation, and the potential impact. So let's start with reporter Mark Albert from North State Public Radio in Chico. Mark's been following the campfire since the first fire alerts on November 8th. You've heard him on our air before. And hi, Mark. It's great to have you back on Insight.
Good morning, Beth. How are you?
So tell me about the different aspects of activity happening there right now.
Well, the Sheriff's Office and CAL FIRE have lifted some of the evacuation orders around the region, sort of starting to repopulate some areas, but that is going quite slowly. The level of devastation is starting to become more into focus. There remain 699 people listed as officially missing. The death toll rose yesterday to 79 with the discovery of two more bodies. They have reduced the number of threatened homes to 14,500, which still remains pretty gigantic. We're expecting up in the foothills perhaps as many as 4 or 5 inches of rain beginning tonight and through Sunday. And officials are very concerned about possible debris flows, about ash flows, and damaging the wild salmon habitat in Butte Creek, but also creating all sorts of other disasters and making cleanup that much more difficult. It's also going to greatly complicate the search for human remains in the fire zone as the water makes the remnants more difficult to sift through.
Mark, there's this phrase, the deadliest and most destructive wildfire in California history, that I'm hearing repeated in news reports across the country, here in California and nationally as well. So teams are still searching for human remains. There's a story and a picture on the front page today of the Sacramento Bee. Tell me about that effort in this crunch time before the rain comes in.
Well, the Sheriff's Office and teams from around the state are sifting through the rubble looking for more remains, and they've stepped up efforts with the rains impending. I've tried to get on and go along with one of the crews now that we here at North State Public Radio are less focused on the minute-to-minute movements of the fire. So far, I have not been able to join one of those teams.
Let's talk about the FEMA center that's open. And with Mayor Jody Jones on our air yesterday, we talked a bit about that Walmart parking lot encampment, and she said some of the people don't want to move. So tell me about that coordination between people who are camping, FEMA trying to redirect people, and then future plans.
Well, you know, there's a bit of controlled chaos. You know, the people on the ridge from Paradise and further afield in the foothills, there's quite a bit of an independent streak, quite a bit of a libertarian leaning. People don't necessarily like government aid, and they're suspicious. They're suspicious about what the situation will be like in the shelters. I was down at the Walmart lot yesterday talking to quite a few people. There were concerns. There were rumors that there are armed guards and barbed wire and that you'd be separated from your pets or separated from your partner. The authorities are attempting to cajole and encourage people to leave that Walmart lot. They say that the area will kind of flood. There were volunteers out there distributing pallets for people to pitch their tents atop of to get out of the water. There's a real dichotomy between this sort of wildcat independent kind of refugee camp that's being supplied and by individuals, by, you know, loosely coordinated volunteer groups from the community versus the organized shelters elsewhere. And the authorities definitely want to get people indoors. They're concerned about a norovirus outbreak at that site where there are just a few porta potties. There were discussions of disallowing the distribution of food or clothing there at that site by Sunday afternoon. That is still going on, to my knowledge. And it's a delicate dance because obviously the authorities don't want to be seen as forcing people to do anything. I spoke to one woman who identified herself as a doing public relations for Walmart, and she said that the company is not going to force these people off of their property, that they're sort of taking a hands-off approach.
In the housing options for people, are they able to stay with their pets? That's, for some, a real lifeline.
Certainly. And at the Butte County Fairgrounds in Gridley, people are being allowed, I've been told at least, to pitch tents outside and to camp with their pets. The scale of this destruction is really quite astounding, especially for the region, and I don't think the numbers tell the true story. They've updated the list to 12,637 single-family homes destroyed and another 310 multifamily homes destroyed, and I'm not sure if those are duplexes or apartment complexes or condo complexes and how many units each of those 310 number represents. But unlike Sacramento or other regions in California, Butte County is fairly sparsely populated. There are not contiguous towns in which to resettle people. I spoke with FEMA representatives, and they said that, and city and county officials, and they say every option is on the table. They're attempting to acquire every vacant standing structure in the region to house people. Folks at the Walmart lot were concerned that they would be placed somewhere distant and that it would make commuting to any jobs difficult, if not impossible, or at least unaffordable. So there's a lot of questions, and I think that the information is not really getting out to evacuees as well as it could. There's a lot of misinformation, a lot of rumors, and a lot of unfounded fears. I spoke to a couple who have been living in the 1985 Nissan Sentra for over a week, and they don't want to. They don't want to go to one of the other shelters. They say that they are waiting to hear back from FEMA. They've registered with them, but they were renting a home for 20 years on a lease-to-own basis. They're either beyond retirement age or at retirement, and they lost everything. He said that their landlord gave them back $1,000, but everything that they've had is lost.
I'm talking with Mark Albert, a reporter with North State Public Radio. Mark, I want to kind of do a speed round here and get through a couple questions really quickly. You have a lot of information on your website about donations. It's in alphabetical order. I said at the top of this segment that cash is really important right now, just in terms of meeting those needs. Will you add anything that's important to know about the donation situation?
Yes, I was up at the Chico Airport where people have been donating just truckloads of pet supplies and pet food. At the evacuation centers, they're trying to turn away people donating clothes. The issue really is storage, and with the rains coming, they can't store these items outside. They'll get wet and ruined. They're really asking, they've been deluged with donations of all kinds,
right.
And what they really want now is cash.
Okay, next question. You describe being in the Walmart parking lot. Can you paint a picture for me? How many tents, how many people are living in that lot?
Well, you know, it's hard to tell how many people are in each tent, but I would estimate there were about 150 or to 200 tents up yesterday, sort of scattered around. There's a vacant lot next to the Walmart lot. There are also dozens, if not scores, of people camped out in their vehicles in the parking lot. It's, you know, surprisingly, it is fairly orderly. There are some transients that have moved in. I spoke to some evacuees who are complaining about having their shoes stolen or clothes stolen or other items. But for the most part, it's fairly orderly, and people are getting on quite well. However, after living there for this many days, there are a lot of frayed nerves and people snapping at each other as well.
Are there services there? FEMA has its center, and I get the sense that there are sort of pop-up help sites throughout the area. But again, I need a little more description of how people are able to access, for example, food and water.
Well, as I said, the volunteers have been bringing in food and water and other items. There's an endless slew. I spoke to evacuees who said they were gaining weight, that there was too much food. I spoke to some people trying to distribute food saying they couldn't find enough hungry people. On the flip side of that, there are bulletin boards advising people of the local assistance center, and that the county bus arrives every morning at 7 a.m. to bring people voluntarily to the Butte County Fairgrounds in Gridley. I spoke to other folks who said they've never seen a bus, so I really don't know how well organized things are, but it's certainly a wildcat effort there at the Walmart lot.
Okay, we've got this shift in weather coming. So are you noticing a shift in the presence of firefighters as we're now up to 70% containment, and anything with regard to anticipation of the storms?
Well, from what I understand, there are efforts underway to try to mitigate damage from possible landslides, mudslides, ash slides, and other debris flows in the area. Obviously, the fire occurred in the foothills, so there's going to be quite a few number of drainage avenues for debris to flow downward. But I have not seen a reduction in the number of firefighters around town. There are firefighters from Oregon and Loyalton, San Jose, pretty much all of Northern California and adjoining states as well, and including Nevada.
Okay, one more question going back to FEMA for a moment. I heard you report earlier this week about perhaps some temporary prefab sort of multi-housing units, something that could be done maybe not immediately, but fairly quickly to help the situation. Any more about that?
Well, I finally was able to reach a FEMA representative late yesterday after trying all day in multiple platforms. He was not particularly up to date on things, but he said that they were talking about RVs, they were talking about trailers, and they were talking about renting hotels, motels, any vacant housing, any standing structure that was available to house people. He didn't mention prefabricated housing, although I did speak over the weekend with the county housing director and our county housing authority director, and he told me that FEMA was looking for different sites to house to construct or to put 2,000 units of housing into 10 different villages of 200 units each. I have not been able to get any additional information about that.
And one more story that you've covered, it's a headline story on your station's website today, and that is the City Council approving an ordinance that prohibits price gouging by landlords and retailers. Is this an important concern? Is this just part of the process, or is there already evidence?
Well, I think that the City Council is normally reluctant to take such an extreme measure. It's certainly a pretty conservative body. However, the loss of housing in this region, in the county, we're talking about 15% of the housing stock in the entire county being wiped out. And unlike other in more metropolitan areas, there aren't adjacent towns with availability. We're surrounded by farmland and by orchards and rice fields. So it's a real crisis. And with the declining supply and higher demand from all of these people who are newly without homes, there's going to be incredible pricing pressure, I think, especially on housing, but then any construction services or other services. I heard from some evacuees being told that offered an apartment for $500 a month, but then learning that it was a bedroom in a four-bedroom house with four other families, and they felt it was a complete ripoff, that was something where people are going to be paying someone else's mortgage and living in a very cramped, crowded conditions.
Mm. Well, Mark, thank you for your ongoing reporting. We've been grateful to have your eyes and your stories from there for us. And I want to wish you a really restful Thanksgiving holiday. I wish that's something we could bottle and give to everybody right now.
Well, thank you very much, Beth. It's been an honor and a pleasure, and I'm greatly looking forward to a day off whenever that comes.
Our wildfire coverage continues after a short break. That was Mark Albert, reporter with North State Public Radio. There's much more at capradio.org. We're going to talk about air quality and that incoming weather change after a short break. This is Insight on Cap Radio.